All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. April the 9th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. The day after the big eclipse. I hope everyone survived. Pretty exciting stuff. A lot of drama, but sure enough, everything seems to have gone smooth. And it was cool to watch. We did not have the luxury of having the full eclipse here where we're at, but we definitely got a chunk. It dimmed here, which was always interesting when that happens. But yeah, anyway, I thought I'd just sit down and see if I could do a podcast. Not a whole lot going on. A little toxic. Feeling a little bit toxic. Went to a meeting last night. You know, I have always tried to go to a lot of meetings, right? I feel like I try to go to 3 or 4 a week. I wish I could go to a meeting every day, honestly. I would enjoy that. Just a good hour. I would love to have a 7 a.m. or an 8 a.m. meeting every morning, maybe like a As Bill Sees It or Daily Reflections meeting, where you just sort of get together and chat and start the day off on a good foot, right? But we don't have that luxury. I do go to a meeting. There's a meeting tomorrow morning I'll go to, which I really like, but problem where I live is a small town, right? And you're limited to certain meetings. And yeah, I don't know. I get frustrated. And listen, this isn't very serene, right? I'm just gonna rant a little bit and then I'm gonna let it go, right? I need to share this because it's really annoying. And you know, one of the things I've learned through recovery, right? When I first came into this program, you know, and I've shared it, you know, endless times, it was more of something I had to do. And I worked on it just like I had to. And, you know, I got from it what I got, right? I worked through the steps, but, you know, and there was, you know, unfortunately, at the end, I drank. And so when I came back into this program and started working these steps and started to understand really the spiritual malady, really this infliction that I have, right? Not everybody has it. I have it. And how these steps help me recognize what I'm lacking, right? And then identify some of my bad behavior, sort of why I do it, right? And then we start to get into some of my past behavior, right? Some of the things I've done, and the steps allow us to kind of look at it, make some amends, clean it up, understand what was behind it, right? And then we go into our character defects, and we start to understand those, and then we go through those, and then we get to the 10th step, and that's the step that we read last night, was on the 10th step. It's absolutely, I say this on every step, but the 10th step to me is absolutely one of my favorite steps because it really just sort of keeps me in the day, right? This 10th step, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And what that means to me is that I continue to sort of do like a 4-step on little things that I do. You know, I try to understand what's behind it. You know, I'm better, right? I shouldn't be doing this, but here we are, right? Here I am. And when that happens, right, you know, I want to be able to identify it, right, and clean it up. When I first came into the program, I thought the 10th step just gave me free will to say sorry, right? Oh, was I sarcastic and hurt your feelings? I'm sorry, right? Was I late and inconsiderate of you? I'm sorry, right? Was I pushing an agenda or whatever it is that we do or I did? At the end, it was always followed by I'm sorry, right? Because that to me is what the 10th step says. It says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Really, what I thought it said, when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. Continue to take personal inventory wasn't really part of it. And today, you know, there's a reason, right? The whole point of this is to have this sort of place of serenity, right? And the 10th step talks about it. And I'll just, you know, there's a couple, let me just see if I can find this because I thought it was very interesting. It says, I can't. Basically, it's like the serenity. Where was it? It says, and it says, let's see, it says, if we would live serenely today and tomorrow, we certainly need to eliminate these hangovers, Right. And that's as a person that's come back to this program and, you know, has sort of had this sort of, you know, spiritual change, right? Because it is for me serenity. I, you know, ideally, do I live serenely all the time? Definitely not. Right. But that's the, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I hope for. I don't even know what that even looks like, right? I'm not even sure if I'm capable of it because there are still things, you know, I like to laugh. I like to make fun of people still. I like to, you know, privately, right? I don't need to point it out, but I'm still, you know, I've said before, it's that first thought in my head that isn't always great, right? It's the second thought that I have to go with to remind myself that the first thought wasn't always great. And, but there's another thing, and it says, pain is the touchstone of something. I forget. But that's how I used to think, right? I reacted when my feelings got hurt, right? And so I don't want to live like that either. And so it was just, it's an interesting thing. But what happens around here is, and I think it happens to a lot, and I've been part of this, you know, there's a group of people that go to meetings, right? They do not drink and they don't work the steps, right? It's hard to work these steps, right? It's a commitment and it takes a lot of honesty and really rolling up your sleeves and digging in, and it can be quite painful. And a lot of people don't do it, and I'm sorry. Right. I haven't done it perfectly. I've tried. I keep trying. I try every day. I feel like, you know, I do feel like I get the benefits of these steps. Right. But there are people that don't. And then you have people that start to point out people that work the steps and they think that, you know, oh, you got to be careful. And it's just this one guy. Right. And he just fucking got under my nerves last night and, you know, saying, oh, well, you have to watch out for these people that think they know all about these steps, right? Because they're gurus, right? They think they're all gurus. And, you know, the point is that, you know, if you don't work these steps, right, you're not doing yourself any favor, especially if you want to find recovery and you want to find serenity and you want to find this place of peace, right? But it's another thing that when you say that people that have worked these steps think they're gurus, because when you don't work these steps, anybody that has worked these steps does look like a freaking guru.
If I had to lose a mind, if I had to touch feeling, I would lose my soul the way I do. I don't have to think, to do it. The results are always perfect, but that's old news. Would you like to hear my voice sprinkled with emotion? When it hit your birth, I can't see the end of me. My whole experience, I cannot see, formulate infinity, stored deep inside me. If I had to lose a mind, if I had to touch feeling, I would lose my soul the way I do. I don't have to think, I only have to do it. The results are always perfect, but that's old news. Would you like to hear my voice sprinkled with emotion? At your birth.
Oh me, that's Nirvana live. Wish that guy had gotten sober, but we lost him. But anyway, the you know, it's you know, I've shared before when I came into this program and started working these steps, and you know, not really putting a lot of effort in it. It didn't take a lot for me to go back out and drink, right? And when I look back at it, I'm like, oh, this is the devil, right? This is the devil coming at me, right? And these voices. Well, what I'm learning, man, the devil comes at me in a lot of different ways, through other people, through things I read, through things I see on TV, right? And what is the point of this, right? What's the point of this attack, right, by the devil? Is to separate me from anything that has to do with recovery and God and serenity, separate me from all of that, get me by myself so I can either pick up a drink, pick up a drug, separate from my family, or ultimately fucking kill myself, right? The devil wants me dead, unfortunately. And if it's not dead, it's just misery. And there's a lot of fucking people, man, that are miserable and they have a negative message. And what I learned last night is this guy's message, right, because he shared, and I was, the other part of the problem, especially growing living in a small town, is you end up in these same meetings with these same people sitting around in the same room smelling our own farts, right? It's the same bullshit being spewed out, right? And some of these people think they listen to themselves, right? And so I'm just annoyed. And, you know, this guy sharing and then talking about these gurus, right? Anybody that's worked a program in these steps and really talks about really good recovery and humility and the struggle, right? You know, yeah, they look like a guru compared to someone that hasn't spent any time in the steps. And you can hear these people. And unfortunately, you know, it's part of the game. It's part of the game. But what's frustrating to me is that now I have this voice like, I am so sick of that freaking meeting. I'm not going back, right? Separating me from the recovery and serenity. And when I got home last night, I was so toxic last night. I was telling my wife, I'm like, it's a bunch of, you know, it's not the way I want to live my life, right? You know, the 10th step, and what's unfortunate is that also when you have people that haven't worked these steps, you don't get great recovery talk, right? You have a lot of people complaining, and it's annoying. You know, the 10th step is huge, you know, and I've shared this. I shared it a couple of weeks ago. I'll share it again though, right? Because it's just where I'm at today as far as this 10th step goes. You know, when I came into this program, you know, I didn't see it at the time. When I look back at the guy coming into this program, I carried a weight of a lifetime of mistakes and shame and dumb things and fear and anxiety and all of this bad behavior. I carried it around with me. Right? You ask me something, I could tell you in a second, right? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like badges of honor, going to jail, being arrested, being busted by the cops in San Diego, all this shit I just carried around with me. And when I came into the program, you know, and really made an effort at working these steps, number one, I was able to start clearing away that stuff, right? Number one, we admit it, right? Okay, I have this problem. Two, you know, we find a higher power, right? If I'm going to do this, I need some God in my life. Number three, we just make better decisions, right? Better decisions, turns out better life. That's a good start. One, two, three. We admit we have a problem. I can't do this by myself. Let's make better choices, right? All of my problems that I've ever had in my life have all been me making bad choices, right? That's it. I'm responsible for every bad thing that's ever happened to me, right? Unless a meteor flew out of the sky and hit me in the head, I still was there, right? I still played a role, right? But then we start getting into the fourth and fifth step. We start taking that moral inventory, right? Hate, jealousy, anger, fear. What are these about, right? The Mr. Jones story, right? And then we get into the fifth step where we really start to expose them. We tell somebody all of this stuff. Why? We want relief. We need relief. How can we move forward into a spiritual path that needs to be void of self if we can't get rid of all the self-centered shit that we've done? I have to dump this backpack, this truck bed, right? Whatever it is, Freightliner, a train, I don't know, a fucking space shuttle full of shit. I don't know, whatever it is, we got to get rid of it. And that's what the fourth and fifth step do. We get rid of all this stuff. And then we start looking at the sixth and seventh, these character defects, right? These, you know, one of them, which is, this is how I know when somebody has not worked a program, when they're sarcastic. Sarcasm is a character defect. And why do people become sarcastic? Because they either they want to hurt your feelings but act like they're not, right? Sometimes, I was very sarcastic as a kid because it allowed me to be funny at other people's expense. It allowed me to fit in, right? Because I didn't feel like I fit in. I wasn't good enough. All this shit, right? But it's a character defect. If you're a sarcastic person and you're trying to find recovery, that's a character defect. You should write it down. Right? I should write it down. If I'm sarcastic still at this place in my recovery, and listen, we all have little funny things, but sarcasm is the tearing of flesh, right? And so, you know, this guy last night, right away, sarcasm, right? And so I know immediately this hasn't worked a step because sarcasm is a character defect. These are things we want to stop doing, right? I shared it. You know, I told my buddy, aren't you a chatty Cathy, right? And he goes, you know, that hurt my feelings. And I was like, shit, it felt like an inch tall. Right? Note to self, you're a sarcastic asshole. Let's be better, right? And so, but that's what the sixth and seventh does, right? It starts to expose these character defects, lying, stealing, cheating, sarcasm, whatever it is, right? These are things you have to sit down with the sponsor and really identify, right? And we do that, and then we have our shortcomings. We humbly, right, to God, right? Because up until this point, whether we believe or don't believe, but at this point, I had to ask, I need your help, right? Shortcomings, are they the beginning of a character defect or the end? I'm not sure. That's up to you. But, you know, stealing Wawa sugar packets to me is the end of the character defect of being a thief, right? I'm not a thief, but I'm still stealing free shit, right? And so, but whatever, it's a journey. We work on it. You know, sometimes we revert back to 3 and 4 and 5 and then we move up and whatever it is, but it's a journey, right? Continuously trying to be better, doing the next right thing, right? And then we get into, you know, 8 and 9 where we start to make these amends, right? And by this time, right, we should be on a pretty even beam, right? We should be pretty centered. Right. But these 8 and 9 can still expose a lot of stuff I shared. You know, I had to make the list of all the people that had harmed me because for the longest time, all my problems were everybody else's fault. Until I did that, I was able to identify that I played a role in it. Right. And then we get to 10. And 10 just allows us. And I said this the other day, it's a coin purse. Right. It's a little front pouch that we keep in our front pocket, right? This is the shit we carry around today. This is all the shame and guilt and bullshit that happens in a day, right? And hopefully, right? And if you've worked a program, right? And if you are here because you get to and not because you have to, right? You have hit some sort of bottom. You finally found some humility. Ideally, we shouldn't have a huge list of things that we have to make amends for or clean up at the end of the day. Right? This is why we work this program. We don't work all these steps so that I still have to carry around a fucking backpack of shit every day. Right? It's bullshit. But to each his own, right? Everyone has their own journey. You know, the guy that annoys me the most is a good friend of mine, which is fucking what pisses me off. He's got like, I don't know, however many years, fucking 100, right? 100 years. And he's still this miserable freaking person. And it just, I get sick of it. And so like last night, well, so we got the 10th step and we have that, you know, on a daily basis from morning to night, we can sit down through our day. And if we have to clean something up, we take a personal inventory. That means we do a fourth and fifth or whatever, our fourth step. Why did I even do that, right? Why we take a look at it? How can, just because I did it and I've only done a few of them, that doesn't mean we can't make them better, right? Hopefully we're just dealing with a little handful of stuff, not a freaking truckload. Right. And that to me is what this 10 steps about. Continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. If sarcasm shows up, you know, say, hey, man, you know, I didn't realize I was going to. However you say it, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I shouldn't have done that. Right? I shouldn't have done that. I know better. I don't know what it is. Whatever these things, you know, halt, right? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. These are things that can make us, unfortunately, step out of the path that we're on. But if it happens, we say, listen, hey, I apologize. I should have said that day, you know, but hey, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I was still learning, right? I was still getting exposed for the guy that I was. That's the thing. When you start coming into recovery and you start hanging out with people that actually have some time, that have worked the steps, worked with the sponsor, continue to help other alcoholics, they call you out on it, right? Meetings is not where we get sober, right? It's the 15 minutes before. It's the 15 minutes after. It's the one-on-one with our sponsor. It's reading the big book. Yeah, meetings are helpful, right? And you can hear good stuff, but you can also hear a lot of fucked up shit too. And it pisses me off. So, you know, and then you got the 11th step, continue to a personal relationship with the higher power, right? Meditation. And then the 12th step, having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we continue to work with other alcoholics. And I know I didn't say that correctly, but you get the idea. And right where I'm at last night, you know, I'm like, I'm sick of these meetings. I'm sick of these. It's the same damn people sitting in the same damn room, farting and smelling their own stink. And I get sick of it. Whew! So what do I do about it, right? What do I do about it? What was my problem last night? What was my issue? Right? And I have talked, you know, I've been struggling. Not with wanting to drink or these things, but I've been procrastinating. And I've been putting off shit, and I've been sort of feeling it. I haven't been doing anything difficult. I've been just sort of floating around in the hot tub. I just saw a post. What happens if you had no mortgage, no car payment, no food bill? Basically, you had no real commitment to financial anything, right? Would you still keep the same job that you have? And I started to look at what people wrote. And the reality is that I need to suffer, right? I've said this before. I need to suffer. And what is that? I need to work. I need to interact with my children. I need to take care of things. I have responsibilities. I have all of these things that I need to do, right? It's not suffering, but it's an inconvenience because the other Tom would rather not do anything. And that's what the other Tom's been doing. He hasn't been doing anything. And I've been suffering from that. And that's not the kind of suffering I want, right? That's spiritual suffering. So yesterday, I had a great day. I had a list. I still procrastinate on my freaking contact lenses for what? I don't know. But, you know, I breakfast with my dad. I got my oil changed. I put down stuff for our flower beds. I power washed the front of our house. I really got a lot of stuff done yesterday, and I felt good at the end of the day. So when I went to the meeting, I felt good. But, man, something yesterday I don't know if it's because I just want more from these meetings or I'm just hit my hands are tied because I'm limited when I can go. And there are two meetings that I can go to on Monday. One's at 6, one's at 6:30. I'd like to go to the 6:30, right? But he almost got sarcastic. Sometimes the recovery over there is lacking. And when it's lacking, and then you try to actually share something that's, I feel, you know, something that works for me as a person that works on recovery, people start thinking. And you know, the funny thing is that he did not look at me or say that I thought I was a guru because I don't. But he said it, right? And of course, I'm like, oh, he's talking about me. He may not have been. But it's just something stupid to say. Thank you for the public announcement, right? Be worried. Steer clear of people that know what they're talking about when it comes to recovery. Right. And what does that mean? You know, I don't know. But sitting around, you know, boohooing about the 10th step, isn't it? All right. Having said all that, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't like to get that toxic, man. I just got frustrated. So I was talking to my wife. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll try Zoom. Right. And I have been the guy that says Zoom meetings are terrible, right? And but I didn't also think about that you're also listening to a lot of different people, right? There's a new group of people. Maybe I want to hear people talk about recovery that have worked these steps, right? I want people sharing their experiences, how they, you know, the ups and downs of getting through this program and, you know, living the steps. And, you know, I said this the other day, you know, living these steps is like the 10th step. Right, that's the living step for me. That's the one that takes everything that I've learned up to this point and sort of allows me to use all of those on a daily basis to keep me from getting into this place where I'm so freaking toxic right now. And so I'm like, well, maybe I'll try a Zoom meeting. The problem is I've never done one, right? And so that may be a solution. I'm going to look into it. But that's just sort of what's going on for me. You know, I am not a know-it-all, you know, and I've listened to my podcast. I don't come off like that, right? I'm just sharing my life, my experience with getting sober, the struggles, right? I've always said, if you're new to recovery, go to a meeting, get a sponsor, talk to another alcoholic, read the steps, work with the sponsor on the in the big book in the steps, listen to what they say, right? If you want to just listen to a guy who is going through it just like you, you know, I talked to a friend of mine this morning, and this person's new, right? This person asked me if I would be their sponsor, and I was like, sure, you know. And they're new, right? But they're, you know, they're going through all that new early recovery stuff, right? All these problems, right? And I'm like, you know, all the stuff that I did, I'm not good enough. I'm thinking about too much. You know, I shared with this person this morning about the prayer that Matt taught me. You know, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. That's a moment by moment prayer, right? Because early on, I'm taking on the month, right? I still have the backpack of shit, and I have an extra backpack to fill up too, right? And that's the future, right? I got a backpack for the past, and I got a backpack for the future. And honestly, we need to get rid of both of those. And that was my message to this person this morning. I was like, you know, if you're starting to worry about, you know, next week, that's a character defect, right? That is trying to deal with something that you have no power over right now, right? But I'm like, just write that down. Write that down. Continue to do it if you want, right? But write it down, because eventually we're going to sit down and we're going to take a look at all these character defects, right? These things that keep us miserable, right? I've said, to me, a relationship with God today is a life free of fear, right? I am afraid of nothing, right? That's, to me, is a relationship with God. That's what I've found, right? I hang my head and pray to God and get answers. My relationship with God is live a good life, don't do shit that makes you afraid, and find peace in it, right? And the only thing that changes that are character defects, right? If if I'm having a great day and I'm starting to worry about what's going on next month, I'm introducing fear into my life, and then I let go of the hand of God. It's just, for me, that freaking simple. And so these are the things that start to affect that. And so my message to this person was just start writing stuff down, right? And we'll take a look at it, right? We're in no big hurry. Don't drink. Go to a meeting. Say that prayer. When you start thinking, oh, my God, what am I going to do next week? Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. Because that's self. Self is like, let's look at next week. And humility is like, no, let's stay right here. Self's like, but what about the problem we could have next week? And humility's like, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you, right? Killed it right away. Self does not like that. Self, but listen, I came in with a lot of weird habits that I just had become used to. I'd been buying my own bullshit for so long that they're just habits that I'm used to. They're just breaking habits, right? When you start thinking into the next week, you say, let's stop. That's selfish, right? Self loves to be the anxiety and chaos of what could possibly happen next week. But humility is like, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And it keeps us in the day. I can handle the day. I have a change purse, right? It's got this little coin purse that I carry around all my issues, right? But when I start going into the next week and I might as well bring back my next week, my future backpack and my past backpack. I don't want either. And that's what these steps teach us, how to not live like that, right? And I remember one of the first things I ever heard was, what other people think of me is none of my business, right? And that I forgot to think about, right? Because I'm getting into other people's business and it's affecting me. It's becoming a character defect that I need to address. So I'm going to address it right now. Tom, stay in the day and keep pointing your nose straight and stay. And what other people say about me is none of my business, or think about me, or what I think other people think is definitely none of my business. That is two or three backpacks I'm carrying around now. I don't want to carry around a backpack. I want to hold the hand of God and I want to find serenity. And, you know, I hope that's what everybody wants, because it is it's a pretty decent way of life, man. It's a pretty decent way of life. Let's see. Let me do the daily reflections, and then I'm out of here. I apologize if that was a little out of character. I don't know, but that's what's going on. Recovery isn't paradise all the time, right? Life keeps going, and we have to partake, and, you know, it isn't always how I'd like it, and so I just have to be better. The funny thing is, the guy that's annoying me, you know, we've been dealing with this issue, him and I, for whatever reason, and I have no issue, right? I have no issue with him. I really like this guy. We've been friends many years, right? This all started because, you know, I couldn't come to the Friday night meeting because I wanted to have date night with my wife. And he's like, what, you mean you're not coming to the meetings anymore? You cured, right? Some bullshit. I'm like, man, I'm just trying to balance my life here, you know? I'm trying to balance recovery, and I'm also trying to balance a relationship with my wife and stay happy, right? And so, but he didn't like that, right? But he's got other issues going on, and so, but, you know, that's his fucking problem, man. Don't fucking put it on me. But I tell you, when I see him next time, I'll walk right up to him, and I'll shake his hand, I'll say, how you doing, buddy, right? Because that's what we have to do. Because if I don't, I'll push that relationship away, and, you know, there's lessons to be learned in here for me. I just haven't figured them out yet. I'm looking at them because I'm trying to be humble about this. I got to figure out what can I do better, right? Because I don't want to lose any relationship in this program. So there's a lesson. There's a God lesson in here, and I'm going to learn it, or I'm going to see it, and I'll be better. The thing is, it's been going on for a while, and God's really been he's been dishing it out, and I'm trying to learn. But last night, I just sort of boiled over. All right. Freedom from King Alcohol. Yeah. Let us not suppose even for an instant that we are not under constraint. Our former tyrant, King Alcohol, always stands ready again to clutch us to him. Therefore, freedom from alcohol is the great must that has to be achieved, else we go mad or die. That's right. It's the devil, alcohol, whatever it is you want to call it, wants to separate me from anything that I love, get me completely alone, and then have me drink and pour the devil back into me. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. That's as Bill sees at page 134. When drinking, I lived in a spiritual, emotional, and sometimes physical confinement. I had constructed my prison with bars of self-will and self-indulgence from which I could not escape. Occasional dry spells that seemed to promise freedom would turn out to be little more than hopes of reprieve. True escape required a willingness to follow whatever right actions were needed to turn the lock. What that willingness and actions, both the lock and the bars themselves, opened for me. Continued willingness and action keeps me free in a kind of extended daily probation that need never end. That's right. That is right, right? One day at a time, one day at a time. All right, listen, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and I'll catch you later. Bye. I can't see love.